a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
I'd like to have the agents please step up to the microphone here and introduce yourselves.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't have my... go ahead.
Is it on? Okay. I'm Beth Magstead. I'm from Watertown. And did you want me to say anything else? Or did you want me to just introduce myself?
Say anything you would like.
Well, I'm going to St. Cloud to study biology.
All right.
I'm Morgan Hemmingson. I'm from Bradley, and I go to school in Clark, and I'm going to SDSU for pre-pharmacy.
Ooh. Must be two very intelligent young ladies. Those are... Yeah. Those are pretty tough. I'd like to remind everyone, please put your cell phones on buzz or turn them off or vibrate, whatever you have. And please don't text and please don't play games on your laptops and iPads and all those goody things that we have now. And we'll have the secretary call the roll, please.
Representatives Elliott, Ironcloud, here. Sigsted,
here.
Street,
here.
Rosem,
here.
Steele, Van Gerpen,
here.
Hubble,
here.
Hansen,
here.
Hickey,
here.
Liss,
here.
Nostrup,
here.
And Vercio.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Next, we'll have approval of the minutes. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. We're only doing one bill this morning, so I did see the him signed in. Anybody else who wishes to testify, the representative already has signed in. So please sign in, and if you represent an agency or an organization, please have your correct lobbyist badge with you. I'm not going to beat you up too much if you don't, I guess, because I recognize everybody in the room. I know who you are. If you have any handouts, you can handle that with the pages, and they'll be glad to send those around for everybody or deliver them to us. And just like to remind that everybody that in order to keep things moving along calmly and clearly, that please address all questions through the chair. And we'll start off then with House Bill 1089 to restrict certain state purchase of gasoline to ethanol blends. And are there any proponents?
Hello. Thank you for having me, Mr. Chair, and the rest of the committee.
Welcome.
I appreciate it. I kind of feel a little special having being the only bill on your guys' docket. I don't know if you're mad at me because everybody had to get up early this morning, or or you're just happy. This is my third or fourth year now bringing this bill, and I feel, is it fourth now? Jeez, it's been that long.
A little deja vu.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And that's how much I'm passionate about this issue. I think everybody knows I'm passionate about ethanol and the renewable energies in South Dakota over my last 4 years being up here. And every time I bring this bill, I think it's more important for the state of South Dakota. I'll just kind of go over the bill. It's very short. Beginning January 1st, 2013, any gasoline purchased in bulk by the state to be dispensed from the state operating fuel stations or fueling points for use in motor vehicles owned or leased by the state shall be ethanol blended or unleaded gasoline that is to be blended with, basically with ethanol. So that's the bill. And the bill is pretty simple. Any bulk buying. So I'm not talking about if you're a state employee and you're going, across country and, or across the state and you're filling up with gas. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when the, Bureau of Administration, Transportation, whoever is buying, purchasing the bulk gasoline, that they would buy it with the mixture of ethanol blend. Could be any mixture. I know we have a good abundance of E85 vehicles, flex fuel vehicles, and or if they buy unleaded gasoline, that it would be mixed with ethanol. Obviously, everybody, we've talked about ethanol blender pumps over the last few years, and state also has ethanol blender pumps at various sites around the state. I know particularly in the larger ones and state colleges. So that's exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to this bill. Like I said, this bill, I believe, is a statement for our government to tell other states. I know when Governor Dugard says he wants to get his bully pulpit and promote South Dakota, this is one bill that he can go around and promote South Dakota and promote South Dakota's fuel to other states and to the federal government. It shows that South Dakota backs ethanol, and we are trying to be energy independent from other nations and from other states. This bill also shows the ethanol industry that we are still open for business, and we want them to expand in South Dakota. I know the next generation of ethanol is cellulosic and butane, and we want to make sure that the people who are in the industry know that we're still here and we're still willing to work with them. If it's dealing with a small little gesture like this bill, or if it's dealing with a big bill to try to bring in bigger businesses. This bill looks like a mandate, and it is. It's a mandate with a big M, all right? I'm getting that out there. That's what this bill is. It's a mandate. It's a mandate on our state government, just like people want to mandate the federal government. That's what this is. This is the citizens, the people, our body, telling our state government what we want them to do. So how I look at it, it's a limitation. It's a limitation, and it's a direction that we want them to go forward. This is not a mandate for our citizens. This is not a mandate for their companies. This is not a mandate for our local governments. This is a mandate on our state government. I hope you guys consider a due pass on this House Bill 1089, and I'm open for questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any further proponents? Any further proponents? Okay, seeing none. Are there any opponents who wish to testify?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jeff Holden. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of the Bureau of Administration. I'm here in opposition to House Bill 1089, but I want to make it clear that we're not here in opposition to the use of ethanol-blended fuel. Representative Fargin mentioned many of the things that the state has done recently to enhance our use of ethanol-blended fuel, including some infrastructure changes that included installation of tanks to hold higher blends of fuel and the blender pumps that have been put in. We purchase as much ethanol blended fuel as we possibly can, keeping economics as our reason for doing it. We adjust contract fuel prices every day and purchase the fuel that is the least expensive on that day. Keeping that in mind, since calendar year 2002, the South Dakota Department of Transportation has increased its annual purchases of ethanol from 166,765 gallons, which was 11% of our total gasoline purchases then, to 1.8 million gallons in 2011, calendar year 2011, or 77% of our total gasoline purchases. Last year when I was here, we were at 71%. So just in this last year, we've gone up another 6% of our total purchases are ethanol-blended fuels. We've steadily increased our use of ethanol-blended fuels in a cost-effective manner, and we don't believe a mandate on state government is necessary at this time. We urge you to defeat the bill, and I'll try to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Are there any other opponents who wish to testify on House Bill 1089? Okay, seeing none, then let's move right into committee questions. Does anyone have a question of you? Oh. Yes, I'm sorry, you can have rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a little short one here. I know Jeff came up and talked about the numbers since 2002. I think those numbers are awesome. And that's the reason why I say I keep bringing this bill and how important this bill is, to show that we're keeping an eye on the administration, how they are moving up. When I first started bringing this bill, I think it was at 25 or 30%, 4 years ago of what we're blending. And look how much we have improved over the last 4 years, up now to 77%. And I hope that we continue to do this. If we do not pass this bill, I hope in a few more years that we are up to 100%. Look just on 2002, it was a widely known product in South Dakota. So I thought it was very sad that we were even at 11% in 2002, and I am very happy that now we're at 77%. But please pass this bill. Like I said, we'll get up there to 100%, and then there will be no need for this anymore. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Street.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For Representative Fargin. Representative, you mentioned, I think you said butane. It's butyl something.
Yeah,
butyl. Are you familiar with, I know there's a plant that's thinking about, or in the process of making at least some of this butyl product. Could you expand on that just a little bit?
Just a little bit. I think there's going to be a bill dealing with that to help educate all of us. I think it's the Redfield plant that is considering moving to, I think, butanol or butane, or I have to get one of those words down. What it is, it's a more efficient form of ethanol, basically. It still runs through corn ethanol. It takes more energy than ethanol, but it also gives more energy, a lot more energy than ethanol. And it's just another phase. It's a next step to the ethanol process. Yep. And I'm sure we'll have more information later on with our next bill. Or not today, but...
Sure, go ahead.
You think maybe that we'll see more and more of this?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Chair.
It's the coming thing?
Yes, no, absolutely it is. We've seen more and more articles in the Midwest when it comes to research in this product, and I think this ethanol plant is going to be the first step in that new product, just like cellulosic ethanol. I know today in the Argus Leader Poet has teamed up with another company to go down to Iowa and invest $100 million into Iowa's economy to look at cellulosic ethanol, and I think this is another product that we're going to see more and more coming out of South Dakota and the Midwest.
Thank you for an excellent response.
Thank you. Representative Hickey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, I do admire a guy who can bring a bill four times in a row and just go after it. I just really appreciate that. I see your intended purposes to make a statement to show that we support the ethanol industry. We want to show surrounding states. We want to make a statement that we're not dependent upon foreign oil. I really appreciate all of that. They've made a case that we're already moving in that direction, going from 11% to 77% in 7 years is really a good direction. Wouldn't it be, because it's a mandate, as you admit, wouldn't it be better to go as a concurrent resolution or something where we just want to make a statement? And why bill form for the fourth time?
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I already have done concurrent resolutions, to the federal government, to the speakers of the past few years, to our congressional delegation, which you don't need to. Our congressional delegation supports ethanol. The reason why I go with the bill form, because we might accidentally pass it. We might actually step up to the plate and go with this. And then also it's an education process. I know a lot of people bring bills out here to educate the public, to educate other legislators, and to get the Bureau of Administration up here to come down every single year, come down and tell us what percentage we are in an official government body on the record, I think is very important.
Any other questions? Okay, Mr. Representative Fargin, please stay because I have a couple questions. Can you tell me, is there any difference between the mileage a vehicle gets with an ethanol blend versus gasoline?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Depends. It all depends what vehicle you're driving. I have two vehicles. I just sold one. And there has been studies on this, and I can get you information on studies. the mileage in vehicles in most cases do go down when you're driving at certain percentages of ethanol. But it's not the mileage that you're looking for. It's the price per mile. Because ethanol in some cases, most cases, are cheaper, is cheaper than gasoline. So if you're running at E30, so you're looking at 20 to 30 cents cheaper per gallon, and now you compare that to what your mileage is and divide, see your price per mile, that's the real benefit, for it. My two vehicles had a 2004 Taurus and a 2003 Cadillac. My Cadillac running on E30 is bad. It just is. But my 2004 Taurus, I actually got 2 miles per gallon better with my four Taurus. And every vehicle is different. Depends how the chip and how the sensors are in your vehicle for your gasoline.
Hey, thank you. Another question, if you don't mind. Since you mentioned the price, is the price lower because it just is so much easier and less expensive to make ethanol, or is there any kind of special incentive to hold that price down?
Well, thank you for that question. There has been two incentives. We have one here in the state of South Dakota that is a tiered system from E85 at 10 cents, and I think to, E85 at 10 cents, I think we pay for taxes, and then at E10, I think is about 20 cents. We changed that law, 3-4 years ago when we brought a bill. At the federal level, we did lose the subsidy at the federal level. So actually, what that was, it went to the distributors, and the distributors would pass that down. In some cases, not all of it down to the public. So then it also is a decrease in what we pay. But overall, if you compare it without the federal and the state subsidies or incentives, you see right here on the piece of paper when Jeff came up here, the least expensive, and we're buying 77% that is mixed with ethanol. It does compare, and it is a better price if you're looking straight up compared to gasoline and ethanol.
Sure, I understand that, yeah, but it's not fair market competition, so to speak.
Well, I don't believe that oil is fair market competition. All the subsidies and the handouts we have given oil for the last 100 years either, Mr. Chair.
And I have one more, I guess, with that. And there's also, I believe, a 2 cent break at the pump for road use tax, right?
Ooh, I guess I do not know.
No.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
I have an expert back there. You can stay, but if she'd come up and...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to clarify, Donna Lightsky, the South Dakota Petroleum and Propane Marketers Association, and just to correct what Representative Fargens was talking about, 3 years ago, we changed our tax system to tax pure ethyl alcohol at 7 cents a gallon and gasoline at 22 cents a gallon. So when I blend to E85, it's approximately 10 cents a gallon. And when I blend to E10, it's approximately 20.6 cents a gallon. And then any blend in between kind of floats on that. So the tax is different.
Correct. But at the pump, I buy non-ethanol products, it's 24 cents.
That 2 cent, Mr. Chairman, that 2 cents went away when we changed the ethyl alcohol tax to a certain rate. And the gasoline to
the rate.
You used to enjoy a 2 cent tax break because in code it said E10 was 20 cents, gasoline was 22 cents. Now it's still about 20.6 cents, but it doesn't specifically say that, if that makes any sense.
Sure, sure. Thank you very much for your help. And just one more point I'd like to make here, a question I'd like to ask is that as far as wear and tear on the roads, is my 2006 Dodge Dakota pickup any lighter if it's filled with an ethanol blend or regular gasoline?
I guess I do not know that, sir. But I do know that more people in South Dakota do get this money back in their own pocketbooks compared to send it out of state and out of the United States.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, now we can move on to committee discussion. Is there any discussion? I think Representative Rosen had her hand up quicker, I think.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is an observation. I mean, outside of the fact that this is a mandate, which I find it really hard to support, but ethanol has been known to damage the car, damage the internal workings of the car if it's left to sit for a long time. So I think of a, and I know I brought this up last year, but I think of a snowplow, if we were ever so lucky to have a winter with no snow, that could potentially sit for 2 years, and we're mandated to have ethanol in it. It can, I know for a fact it can damage a vehicle if it's left too long because it dries it out. I don't know if there's been any studies done that actually track that. I don't know what the extended amount of time is, but that would be a major concern if we were to mandate this.
Thank you. Representative Street. Oh, it was Representative Sigstead. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I sort of find it a little ironic when now Senator Hoeven, who was a former governor of North Dakota, didn't have to go through this process. He just mandated that all state vehicles use ethanol. Now, we just come from an ag committee meeting this morning and saying what the big ag industry, what that contributes to South Dakota's economy, $21 billion. Now, South Dakota raises more corn than North Dakota, and here the governor of North Dakota mandated the use of ethanol. And I think it's ironic that here we are, we want to spend all our money on foreign oil, and this is homegrown, folks. This is homegrown. Why wouldn't we want to use it? So I think this here, this bill makes sense, you might have more discussion, but I'd like to move due pass at this time, and I'd like to make some more comments afterwards.
You are out of order on your motion because we're not done with the discussion portion yet. Representative Street.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a little point of clarification on Representative Rosen's comment. I think the snowplows all run on diesel fuel, and no one is advocating any kind of blending program for diesel fuel. And I've never heard any strong evidence about your comment on damage. I mean, I've never heard evidence on it. I don't know if you have evidence, but I certainly haven't on an automobile. I've been using it for years.
Any other comments? Yes, Representative Rosen.
Thank you. In the family, we had a motorcycle, not me, mind you, because I'd kill myself, but a motorcycle that sat for about 5 years, had ethanol in it, had to gut the entire thing. So that was a one-time thing. So I visited with some of the farmers that I know and said, so what happens if you have a tractor that could have it in it? There was a gentleman here last year who came up to talk to me after this discussion and said, you are correct. It can damage the car because the alcohol dries it out. What I don't know is are we talking 2 years? Are we talking 3 years? Obviously we all burn it in our cars, so we're not talking short term.
Representative Hubble.
I kind of want to agree with Rona, Tona Rosen here. Sorry,
Representative.
Rona? Sorry. we did have experience with our own car, too, that we put ethanol in it, and it did destroy our car because it wasn't made for it. It was too old of a car. The cars like the high-end cars cannot handle the ethanol. Also, in situations where you're storing gasoline, you have to put like a stable type of product in it. You can't do that when it has ethanol in it. The reason why we changed our holding tanks is because ethanol is more corrosive.
Are there any? Representative Norst.
I'm sorry, I wasn't going to speak until the motion was made, but I can't let the bashing of ethanol continue. My experience, if you know my background, is my family runs Thunder Road, which is in four cities in North Dakota and South Dakota, and we've been running ethanol since, I believe, 2003, 2004, somewhere in there, and we have over 100 go-karts in between those four locations, and we run E85, and we let the carts sit from when we close in September, October, depending on the location, till April, May, also depending on the location, and we don't have any problems with it. And I would say that's a pretty good track record, and we've run millions of miles in between those four locations. So I think you might have I think you're going to have a lot of problems if you use gasoline or ethanol or whatever, if you let it sit for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. You're going to have some weird things happen to any engine, whatever is in it. So I just couldn't let it continue. Ethanol is a huge thing, part of our industry or state. We're the fifth largest state in the country producing ethanol, and most of those owners of those ethanol plants are South Dakotans, and I just don't think, and Poet, one of the largest, or it's probably the largest company, is based in Sioux Falls. I think we should support the industry a little more, and if we're going to throw around things, we should actually talk about facts and present facts, and we're way sidetracked on the actual bill, but I just had to say my piece because I would be unhappy with myself if I let that continue. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any other comment? Representative Van Gerpen.
Well, I think the department has an obligation to the taxpayer to get the best deal for us. They have improved the purchase of ethanol. I mean, it's gone way up. And I'm wondering if they didn't have – do you bid – for this price? Could I ask a question?
You're out of order. We're past that section already.
Okay. Well, if in fact, I would think they have to bid. And if there's no competition, you might say, if they know they got to buy the ethanol, it could make a difference, I would think. And so I'm a farmer. I enjoy the higher prices of corn, which is attributed to ethanol. But I've got friends who feed livestock, and there has to be a balance. We can't get the corn price up too high because then the livestock producer doesn't make anything. And so I think we're getting along just good the way it is. Our department, they've increased their use, and so I'm not going to support this bill.
Any other comments? Seeing none, we'll move to committee action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Sigstead.
Sorry for jumping the gun earlier.
That's quite all right. I bet I can guess what you're going to say.
I hope you can. Mr. Chair, I move to pass, and then I'll have some comments.
Second. Any comments?
Mr. Chair, I would like to make a couple comments, too. As far as gas sitting 5 years, try gas sitting 5 years old, or if it's 5 years in your lawnmower, see if it'll start to. Some when they get old, it doesn't want to start. And I think so many people are under the misconception. We just use a small part of that corn that goes to ethanol. The rest, as you know, is DGGs, and that's a very, very important byproduct of ethanol making, for those of you that don't know. It seems to many, when you hear this on a national scene, they must think you use the corn and it's all thrown away after you get done for using it for ethanol. That's not the case. Just a small part's used, and that's a very good feed. You talk to, I know a lot of them go to the plants and they'll take it wet because they can get it a lot cheaper. But the dried distiller's grain is shipped all over around the world. And the sponsor of this bill said he's passionate about it. We should all be passionate about ethanol because, like I say, this is a homegrown fuel. We don't have to worry about these foreign countries, and we fight wars over oil. They don't take all the expense that is for that. This is a homegrown product, and we can use it for feed, and we can use it for gas. It's a win-win situation for South Dakota, and I think if North Dakota, with the governor, can say that up here, mandate the use, why shouldn't we that raise more corn here in South Dakota? It's just common sense that we use it too. Thank you.
Representative Norris.
Substitute motion.
Let's go ahead.
Defer to the 41st day.
Okay, we have a substitute motion to move 1089 to the to the 41st day, and we'll have the secretary. I'm sorry, we need a comment from this representative. Sorry.
Thank you. This time I'll talk more about the bill. I made the motion just because I think the state is on the right track of going from 11% to 77%, And I think the taxpayers of South Dakota should get the best price, and passing this bill mandating it, we could potentially spend more money than we necessarily have to, and we don't have a lot of extra money laying around. So I think as long as we're taking moving in that direction of supporting ethanol, and I think we are as a state, I don't think this bill is necessary. If we go to 11% someday, then maybe we need to have this discussion, but I think we're on the right track, so I don't think this bill is necessary.
Thank you, Representative. Now we can have the Secretary call the roll.
Representatives Elliott, Ironclad.
No.
Sigistad.
No.
Street.
No.
Rosam.
Yes.
Steele. Van Gerpen.
Yes.
Hubbell.
Yes.
Hansen.
Aye.
Hickey.
Aye.
Bliss.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Bershiel.
Aye. We have eight yeas and three nays. The motion passes. HB 1089 will be placed on the 41st day. Thank you. I need to have just a couple. I know we're done, and people like to get out early and get work done on the floor, but in looking at the upcoming calendar, we have five bills assigned to us right now. 1104, that's the Department of Transportation defining their responsibilities regarding portions of certain intersecting county and township highways. Does anybody think of anything controversial that's going to come up there? I don't think so either. I'm trying to figure out how to set the calendar. HB 1111 is eminent domain legislation, and I have been asked by those a lot of those sponsors to delay that as long as possible. They're still working out some things with everybody, so we'll move that to the bottom, and probably that will probably be a one bill day only. 1154, construction of roads outside a road district. Does anybody think that's going to be a toughie? Okay, 1170, speeding offenses. The sponsor happens to be here. Do you expect a lot of conversation about that?
I expect consent calendar.
other than being asleep and dreaming, do you expect any? Okay. And then 1200 is grant authority to municipalities and counties regarding outdoor advertising structures. That one, again, could be. What I'm trying to determine is, do you think we can do all four of those in one day? I think we can, can't you? Just 2 hours, unless you have a ton of people come from out of town to testify or something. Okay. How many what? I don't know. I don't have my shoes off. I can't use my toes to count that far. So,
I think if there's any doubt, we try. You know, try to pass them because we don't know what's coming.
Yeah, we've got a lot of.
We could be burning oil pretty hard.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I wanted to get as much in as I possibly could.
That's my opinion.
Okay, so we'll place those four. Other than 11-11, then those four will be on Thursday's calendar. Okay, so everybody's prepared. Okay, thank you very much. I would entertain a motion. Second?
Second.
All those in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Opposed? Don't forget to leave your black books, by the way, if you have them. Thank you all.